Hello and welcome to Agri-Food Matters, the monthly podcast from the UCD School of Agriculture and Food Science that sheds light on the topics that really matter in the world of agriculture and food. I'm Sean Duke and I'll be your host. Today in our fourth episode, we're discussing oats, which many of us know from our porridge each morning, as part of a wider look at the opportunities for tillage farming in Ireland. I've got regular contributor Julie Dowsett with me. Julie, maybe you can help me set the scene for this.
Thanks, Sean. We're really lucky in UCD to have some highly regarded researchers who are key in influencing research and policy in all areas of the food system. And we're actually going to meet two of them today.
Maybe before we do that, can you tell me what is the food system exactly?
Yeah, so the food system is, it's just really, if you think about the spectrum, which connects all aspects of food production. So from the quality of soil and animal health, all the way through to food production and processing to eventually the consumer. But at the same time, we have to ensure that that food is safe and it's regulated and it's beneficial to the environment and it's financially viable for farmers and our economy to produce it. So it's a big ask, really, Sean.
Absolutely, yeah. So maybe tell us, how do oats and some other crops fit into this picture?
Yeah, so we know that we're a great nation for growing grass. We have enough rain, and so we're very good at growing grass. And that has led to a very strong meat and dairy sector. But for many years, food crops have been the poor relation. But now that looks like it's set to change. So recently, there have been significant initiatives with European investment and national initiatives, and even consumer demand, if you think about it, for more plant-based diets. And so that means that there's been more of a focus on crop production to provide nutritious, locally produced foods in diverse ways. And by doing that, we can support our economy, jobs, the environment, and even biodiversity. So today we're going to hear from Professor Michael Wallace, who's an agricultural economist, and Professor Fiona Duan, who is a crop scientist. And both of them will be talking about the tillage sector, but we're going to focus specifically on oat production.
Let's hear first from Michael Wallace. I began by asking him to explain what tillage is for those of us that might not be 100% sure.
Yeah, so tillage is about the growing of crops, whether it's for use in animal feed or for human consumption. So really what we're talking about are crops like barley, which is our, you know, main tillage crop in Ireland, wheat, oats, and then crops like potatoes, of course, which is quite important, and some more minor crops like peas and beans and oilseeds.
Okay, now historically, if we just put some history on it, how important has tillage been to agriculture in Ireland in history?
Ireland is predominantly a livestock producing country, you know, so we're predominantly pastoral livestock and those types of enterprises, particularly beef cattle, sheep and dairying have predominated in our history because of our natural advantages for growing grass. But nevertheless, tillage has been an important part of our story and has been an essential component of the Irish agri-food sector, and particularly in some of our regions where the sector is more suitably progressed because of land type. So I'm thinking particularly on the southern and eastern regions. So, you know, as a proportion of land area back in the 1980s, for example, we would have had about 12% of land in tillage crops. That has declined in more recent years to about 7.5-8%.
Now, there have been quite switches away then from, say, tillage towards dairying and maybe to a lesser extent beef. In order to be more sustainable in terms of our agri-food sector, should we kind of think about maybe stopping that switching and maybe reversing it even?
As an economist, I'm not keen on very heavy direct intervention in sectors. I don't like to interfere or see policies that interfere too much in farmers' decision making, because ultimately we want resources that farmers are managing used in the most productive way as possible, while protecting our environment. So I wouldn't want to give the impression that I think we should go in there and with some sort of grand land management strategy. What I think is appropriate is more softer measures that may encourage the type of balance that we referred to earlier, where there are supports also that balance with those for the livestock sector. So we have very strong research, obviously, in dairying, and maybe tillage could do with maybe some additional research investment to actually help the sector as it becomes more competitive, particularly versus dairying. So I think that there are opportunities there for additional supports that will help to reinforce and protect the sector. And we've seen some previous measures which have been very important. For example, the protein crop scheme, which was introduced in 2015, resulted in tripling of the area of protein crops. We're talking about peas and beans. And that's been really important for increasing the level of our autonomy of protein supply into the feed industry. And it's an example of a very successful type of measure that can be done to encourage development of the sector and obviously benefiting the environment, because those types of crops as nitrogen fixing crops can be beneficial to the environment too.
So you worked as part of your work on a report on this for the government. You know, maybe you could tell me what are some of the main recommendations you made in that?
Yeah, I mean, the purpose of that report was really to establish the economic importance of the tillage sector to the national economy, and to provide an evidence base upon which key policy decisions evidence that would contribute to policy making, particularly in relation to the next agri-food strategy that follows Foodwise. So I think that providing that base is important in understanding how significant the sector is. And what I showed is that the contribution to the economy of the tillage sector is about 1.3 billion per annum, and that the sector sustains about 11,000 jobs. And what I show is how important it is to numerous downstream sectors, particularly in areas like in the brewing and distilling sectors, in likes of milling of oats for human food consumption, and also in the feed manufacture industries. So it's a really important sector, which is very embedded in the overall agri-food industry, because of it's the outputs of tillage contribute to a multitude of other sectors, which I think was important to highlight and to show how, you know, stimulating tillage output and promoting that sector could displace and replace certain imports, improving our self-sufficiency in cereals in particular, but also in potatoes. And that could be a real win-win for the economy, not least of all, also the impacts that could benefit the environment, as we referred to earlier. So I was highlighting some of those areas and the opportunities that may exist for import replacement, given that we're about 60% self-sufficient in cereals. There's a major opportunity right on our doorstep there to actually meet more of our requirements for cereals, for example. So yeah. I think there are really important lessons there.
Yeah, and in our second interview for this podcast, we'll be talking to somebody who's going to tell us about oats. Oats are part of this story, aren't they?
Absolutely. Really important crop, a great success story. Where we're exporting oat products around the world. I mean, Irish porridge oats are pretty famous. So it's a really important crop. And that's an example of a crop where premiums are being developed because of the end markets that are being targeted. So we have obviously premiums there for likes of organic oats, and that's really important for the success of the sector. So if you can develop premiumization, new value-added markets, that's benefiting farmers to higher prices, and farmers will respond to those signals.
That's Michael Wallace. Now let's hear from Fiona Doohan, who will tell us more about oats as an increasingly valuable crop in Ireland. Please excuse some of the sound quality you'll hear, as it was all recorded by Fiona herself outside as she stood in an oat farm near her home in County Donegal.
I'm walking along a farm here in the village of Gortahorky in County Donegal. And Gortahorky translates to English as field of oats. And that's what I've come to see here. It's a field of oats that are being produced using organic standards. Oats is a very important crop in Ireland historically. It's a crop that grows well on what's called marginal land. That's land where you don't necessarily have very high levels of nutrients. And there are many such places around the country where they had very good crops of oats. And of course, it gave a product that was nutritionally very good in terms of human health and indeed animal health. Agriculture has changed dramatically in Ireland over the last 40, 50 years. If we look back in time, 40 to 50 years ago, there were significant changes in what's known as the Green Revolution in crop production, which led to new varieties of crops, including oats, that could produce very high yields when they had the sufficient allocation of nutrients. So we're talking about fertilisers. And nowadays, many of our crop production systems globally are very dependent on these chemicals to produce the yields that we need to feed the global population. And the same is true for oats in many regions now. But looking to the past, we know that oats can be produced and give a good yield under a reduced nutrient input system. And over the next 10 years, agriculture faces major changes in Europe because of what's known as the EU Green Deal. So in this terms, we have to reduce dramatically the amount of chemicals that we use in agriculture. That includes fertilisers and pesticides. Pesticides are the chemicals that are used to control diseases. And unfortunately in Ireland and in many European countries, we get relatively high levels of crop diseases because of the temperate climate and the high humidity. And this is also true in oats. But oats has to be looked at again for Irish agriculture. And we see that some of our indigenous industry are doing that and making really good, high quality products from oats. And that's an area that can grow. Why? Well, at the very beginning, I mentioned that they're a marginal crop. So they don't need high inputs. They're resilient. They produce a product that is nutritionally superior. And therefore, Ireland, we have to face the challenges ahead in terms of the EU Green Deal, and oats is a part to play in ensuring that agriculture and Irish farmers can meet the objectives of the EU Green Deal, the reduced chemicals and reduced pesticides. We have to look at what oats we can grow on the island of Ireland. And one of the things that often happens in agriculture is that as you intensify the crop production systems, you often lose biodiversity. In the 1960s, I mentioned the Green Revolution in agriculture. So you had these shorter varieties of oats. Oats used to be very tall, a metre and a half, but that was a problem. In the rain and the wind, they'd fall over. They were putting a lot of energy into stem versus the amount into the grain. So the shorter the stem, the more energy distribution towards the grain. So that's what happened in the Green Revolution. These shorter varieties came in that responded well to chemical inputs, fertilisers and pesticides. And obviously that reduced the number of varieties that can do that. Okay, so you think about it, there were hundreds of varieties. Breeders came up with a few that could were shorter, that could have enhanced performance when chemicals were applied. So you reduced the biodiversity being grown. In Ireland, we really are reliant on a handful of oat varieties for oat production. And that's a bit of a problem because biodiversity is very important. The more biodiversity you have, the less likely that disease will spread, for example, in a field. One variety might be susceptible to the disease and the variety beside it isn't. So it won't spread too much and the farmers won't lose too much yield. If it's all the same variety, that's what we call monoculture, you can have a big problem and a disease can spread very quickly through the crop. We need to look again in agriculture at biodiversity and introduce more biodiversity into oat production. Oat as a nutritional product is amazing. So it's a food. We're all familiar with porridge oat, oat bran for breakfast. But there are many other products that come out of oats. That includes oils, it's used in makeup, creams, etc. Oats is very nutritious in terms of its micronutrients. It's proteins, etc. It's low in gluten, so for people who have a gluten intolerance, This is a brilliant thing. It's gluten-free, essentially. And also, it has other good properties that mean that it could have great potential for a range of non-communicable diseases, non-hereditary diseases in humans. In Ireland now, over the last year, agriculture, national and international funding has invested a lot in oats, and that's really exciting to see as we move forward. And it's very exciting for places like Donegal. Places like this can regenerate their oat agricultural systems. They can take them back in. We can convert more land to oats as long as we have the market there for the oat products. And that's a growing market all the time. My research, our research in UCD, focuses on trying to develop new products and new varieties of oats suitable to Irish agriculture. So we were very fortunate recently to receive funding from what's called the EU Interreg programme, which looks at developing new varieties and new products from oats, working with Irish and Welsh companies to support them. If you think about it, we like oats because they're very nutritious. The reason they're very nutritious goes all the way back to the variety of oats. Not all varieties have the same nutritional profile. I said we only grow a small handful of varieties in Ireland. We might not have the best varieties in terms of nutritional profile, or indeed in terms of developing products tailored to specific markets, for example, diabetes. Oats are considered to be a crop that might have very good anti-diabetic properties. The components within oats that give it that attribute vary across different varieties. And in our new EU project, we're looking at that. We're saying, let's assess a whole range of old oat varieties and new oat varieties and test them, assess how genetically diverse they are to make sure we have a nice diverse population. Let's look at how much disease they get in the field. Are there some old varieties that have good disease resistance, that are resistant to the diseases that we face today? Do they differ in their nutritional content? Do they differ in terms of their processing properties? So oats contain lots of good nutrients, but they also can have some problems in terms of processing and getting particular products out. And one of the big products, one of the most popular products at the moment in terms of vegan diets, is oat milk. Okay, so a milk alternative, a non-dairy milk, if I can use that word, derived from oat. And the processing of that may be influenced to a great extent by the actual variety grown in the field. How easy it is to process might be altered by the variety you select. So that's what we're looking at. We're saying, are the varieties that differ in terms of the products we can develop in Ireland? Can we develop a new range of products? Can we give farmers varieties that need less chemicals so they can have less inputs? Are the varieties that will sequester more carbon in the soil in the face of climate change? We all know that we have to reduce our emissions. The root system of a crop is a great carbon sink. So different root systems capture more or less carbon depending on the root architecture. So it's all very exciting stuff. And we have this new project, and we have a new forum in Ireland set up by Chagask in the Republic of Ireland and the Agri-Food Biosciences Institute in Northern Ireland called Oats Ireland Forum. And indeed, we have some other new exciting projects in the pipeline to really look at valorising or adding value to our oat production systems in Ireland using digital track and trace systems. A prototype project we have ongoing at the moment is called Food Shield, funded by Science Foundation Ireland, where we're working with industry to track oat production from the farm right through to the end product and look at the potential of digital track and trace systems to support that industry, show the provenance and the quality of their product. And that's a huge area for growth. As we move forward now, we'll see more and more activity in oats, which is brilliant and really exciting. And a new initiative ongoing on the island in plant innovation, we really see oats as being one of the most important crops within that. But if I go back to biodiversity, no one crop stands on its own. No farm should be monoculture, one animal, one crop. We really need integrated, regenerative farming systems So that's how we look at oats. We don't look at it in isolation from the other farm components. We're not suggesting everyone convert the whole farm to oats, but it could be a really important component of a mixed farming model, like it was historically, providing food, high quality food and feed to the farm and being part of the regenerative agriculture model. Over the next few years, we'll see an increase. We see it already in the news in plant-based diets or plant diets. It's a huge increase. This is a market that Ireland has to tap into. And here in UCD, we really are pushing that as a really important thing to look at consumer-led trends here and to position Irish agriculture, working with our collaborators in other institutions across the island and particularly in Chagas, to make sure that we are at the forefront. So as consumers move to more plant-based products, that we can produce that on the island of Ireland. We don't want industries being set up, or not that we don't want, but it would be unfortunate if industries were set up that were taking in all the raw ingredients from South America. If we could produce with a good quality plant-based product, raw materials on the island of Ireland, with a good life cycle analysis behind it in terms of that it is not contributing to higher greenhouse gases, that it is produced sustainably, that it's low emissions, etc. And all of that has to be investigated. It should never be taken as a given that plant-based systems are more climate friendly than animal-based systems. It's not always the case. And it's not always the case necessarily that something grown very close is in a climate scenario more, let's say, eco-friendly than something grown far away. But I think given our history, oats is one of the crops where we can be fairly confident that growing indigenous produce, feeding it into indigenous industry, is very likely to really help us reach our climate objectives and to provide new industries in Ireland with indigenous high quality raw materials for them to produce their products.
Fiona Doohan there with her fascinating assessment of the past, present and potential future of oats as a crop of high value in Ireland. Well, that's all for this, our fourth episode of Agri-Food Matters. If you'd like to get in touch with us to make suggestions or comments, we'd love to hear from you. Please email me, Sean Duke, presenter of Agri-Food Matters, at seancduke@gmail.com. If you enjoyed the show, please rate or review it on the iTunes podcast platform or any of the other podcast listening platforms on which it's available, including Spotify, Google Podcasts, Breaker, Pocket Casts, and Radio Public. Until next time, so it's goodbye and good health from all of us here at Agri-Food Matters.